Sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock. Be not silent unto me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit.
Now and ever shall be, world without end.
Lord of all power and might, who art the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of thy name. Increase in us true religion. Nourish us with all goodness, and of thy great mercy, keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Sunday after Trinity is written in Exodus chapter 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Here ended the lesson. The epistle for the sixth Sunday after Trinity is written in Romans chapter 6. St. Paul writes, Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here endeth the epistle. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Hallelujah. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thine gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us
us men and for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to fully understand our gospel lesson for today, we have to look at the few verses right preceding where our lesson begins. Jesus says to his disciples, after he has shown them the blessings of the kingdom of heaven in the Beatitudes, where they are described as blessed, and after he calls them the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and urges them to let their light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven, Jesus then moves on and he says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish or destroy, but to fulfill. And this is key to understanding Jesus' mission and God's purposes. Jesus didn't come into the world to start a new religion. He didn't come into the world to say to the world, listen, you know all that stuff in the Old Testament? Yesterday's news. Forget about it. All right? He did not come in order to do that. He came into the world to fulfill the law and the prophets. That is, to fulfill Scripture. And he does this in a number of ways. The first way in which Jesus fulfills the law and the prophets is by being the realization and the fulfillment of all of the particular messianic prophecies scattered throughout the Old Testament. And there are many more than the ones that immediately appear before our mind's eye. Jesus, in his words, in his deeds, and in particular, in his saving, suffering, death, and resurrection, he has fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament, wherein God the Holy Ghost promised the coming of the Messiah, the Messianic age, the age of redemption and the forgiveness of sins. But Jesus didn't only fulfill specific passages of Scripture. Jesus is the realization of the entire direction and focus of the Scriptures of the Old Testament. We see this in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew begins his Gospel with a nice, long genealogy. Now, if he had been working for a modern publishing company, the publisher's assistant would have come to him and said, can't you come up with a snappier introduction? You know, something that really grabs people? But you see, Matthew was being inspired by the Holy Ghost. And Matthew's desire was not to entertain people or titillate them, but to teach them certain truths of God. So he goes through, beginning with Abraham, and he mentions all of the great saints of the Old Testament in this genealogy, and the last name on the list is Jesus. And so what the genealogy is saying to us is that the whole reason for the whole Old Testament was to prepare for the coming of the Savior of the world, the Son of God. And there are so many other types and figures and pointers in the Old Testament that point people's hope and their faith toward a future fulfillment in the age to come. And that age and that fulfillment has taken place in the incarnation, the life, the passion, the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, he fulfills specific messianic prophecies and types, and he realizes, and in him and his person, the whole purpose for the history of the people of God in the Old Testament. All of this finds its realization in the coming of Christ. Everything in the Old Testament was preparation and looking forward to Christ's coming. But that's not all. Our Lord here also fulfills the law and the prophets in what we call his active obedience as the Christ, the Son of the living God. He came into the world to be our substitute, to stand in our place, to act in our stead and on our behalf. That's why the words "for you," "for us," found scattered throughout the New Testament are so important, because everything that we believe about Christ is for us, that it is for our benefit. And so, Jesus, as our substitute and as the one who stands in our stead, he puts himself under the law of God, and he completely and utterly obeys the law of God. Now, he doesn't do it for himself. He does it for us. So Jesus stands under the very same law that condemns us as transgressors. And in our stead, and in our place, he obeys the law fully. So we call that Christ's active obedience. I'll give you one example of it. Jesus didn't need to be baptized. And when he came to John the Baptist said, "You know, you should be baptizing me. I shouldn't be baptizing you." And Jesus said to John, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." You see, Jesus was standing in our place and fulfilling what the law requires of us. And so he was the man for us in his baptism, fulfilling all righteousness. And this righteousness of Christ is what is credited to us when we believe in him. All right? So far we got three things, right? We got three things. Number one, he fulfilled specific Old Testament prophecies and types. Number two, he fulfilled the entire scope of the Old Testament. He is the realization of everything that the scriptures of the Old Testament are pointing forward to. They are realized in him. Number three, his active obedience, wherein he obeys the law in our place and in our stead. Finally, Number four, what we call his passive obedience. Christ's passive obedience was that he took upon himself willingly our sin and our guilt. He was entirely sinless, perfect, and without any personal guilt. But he took our sin and our guilt upon himself, and then he went to the cross and he suffered the wrath and the judgment and the punishment of God that you and I deserve because of our multitudes of sins. He bore it all, and he bore it on the cross and paid the last farthing. He paid the full price for our redemption, and he atoned once and for all, so that when you think of Jesus on the cross, he was there paying in full for all of your sins, right? So, now all of these fulfillments of the Old Testament, they all go together. But I wanted to break it down for you into these four aspects so you would understand clearly what Jesus means when he says, I have not come to destroy the law and the prophets. I have not come to destroy the Old Testament revelation. I've come rather to fulfill it. So now, in the New Covenant, under the New Testament, we Christians, we still hold to the scriptures of the Old Testament as the very word of God that has been fulfilled in Christ. And the New Testament, inspired by the same Holy Spirit of God, the New Testament is the document that shows us this wonderful fulfillment in Christ. So that when you and I hear the reading of scriptures, Old and New Testament, and we understand that is completely due to the redeeming work of Christ, the promised and the fulfillment of all that the Holy Ghost revealed throughout the Old Testament, and that we have a gracious God, we stand before that God forgiven and counted righteous, not because of our deeds, but because of his deeds and his redeeming work. So that's why Jesus could say, unless your righteousness, he's talking about the Christian now, unless your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Unless you do a much better job than the Pharisees and the scribes did, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Now, you got to admit when you read the New Testament that the scribes and the Pharisees were pretty impressive people. You know, they were really persnickety about obedience. And we have to admit that sometimes when we look at ourselves and we look at them and we hear Jesus complaining about them, we kind of start to feel insecure in ourselves, right? But here's the deal with the scribes and the Pharisees. They trusted that they were righteous and that they deserved consideration from God because of their obedience. And therefore, their obedience to the law didn't even get them to first base. And this is the way, by the way, most unbelievers in the world today are, except that the standards are much lower. You got to hand it to the scribes and Pharisees. They had better standards. So they were aiming at something that was really, like, impressive. Modern morality is anemic, shallow, and insipid. People think that they deserve consideration from God because they're kind of generally nice, right? I mean, you know, or because they stand up for some new modern morality, some kind of social justice, some kind of new way of looking at what is good, right, and true. All they succeed in doing is calling evil good and good evil. And yet they would say, I am righteous and you are not. But in fact, they haven't been anywhere in the general vicinity of righteousness. Now, the world always thinks that its works merit consideration. Jesus is saying that whenever you think that way, you never even make it to first base. But if you, acknowledging your sins and believing in the obedience of Christ, his obedience to the law in your place and his full payment for all of your sins, and believing in him, you therefore dare to believe that your sins are forgiven, you don't make it to first base, you hit a home run. And you get to high five with all of your teammates around first base because you have not trusted in your own righteousness and in your own works. You have trusted in the one who delivers the goods, who has fulfilled all things. So today, when we consider unless our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, the point is, it's got to be not a quantitative difference, but a qualitative difference. That is, it's got to be an entire different kind of righteousness. You see, you're either righteous in your own deserving works, or you are righteous in Jesus Christ the Lord. That's where I want to be. God's grant that that's where we all shall be. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Holy, Heaven and earth are full of your glory. The firmament shows your handiwork. There we behold your eternal power and divinity. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Scriptures, in which you give us the testimony of our brothers, the apostles and prophets. Grant by your grace that their God may be our God, their love of your truth, our love, their fellowship with you and your people, our fellowship. We thank you especially for the voice and witness of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord Jesus, in your birth, you took our flesh upon you. In your death, you took our sins. Give us your word and truth and all the mercies of your sacrifice, that we, being baptized into your death, may be raised to newness of life. Give us power to crucify the lusts of the flesh, to put away all hatred and bitterness, to overcome all sinful habits, and to be born again in the Spirit, and ever to live to you. Spirit of God, make your church alive. Grant us the fruits of righteousness and hearts and lips full of praise to him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Give the light of life to the nations. Give our country leaders whose consciences are attuned to your voice, and citizens whose wills are fixed on doing your will. Bless all who stand in some special need of your help. Heal the sick and all who are in bodily or mental anguish, that they may take comfort in the great things you have prepared for all who love you. And on this day, we give you heartfelt thanks that the Baisley family has arrived safely in Imperial, Nebraska, and are settling in nicely for John's year of vicarage. And we ask your continued blessing upon John, Catherine, and the entire family. We also give you heartfelt thanks today for the safe delivery of Joel Raymond Jarris. And we thank you that you have kept mother and baby safe and pray your blessing upon them in the days to come. O God, help us now in the days of our flesh to lighten by every Christian virtue the place in life to which you have called us, and in the time of our death, preserve us for your eternal kingdom through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We sing our communion.
Lord Jesus Christ,
Lord be with you. Unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should, at all times and in all places, give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection hath opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Amen.
body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for thy sins. May it strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of thy sins. May it strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of thy sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for thy sins. May it strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Thank you.
Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same, in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Countenance upon thee and give thee peace.